Thank you for the testimonies tonight. It's good for us to remember. Tonight, I want to talk about the idea of remembering. Look at chapter 4, verse 9, Deuteronomy. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to remember and to teach. Help us, Father, to publish and praise your name. And Father, tonight, may you be with me as I would speak, that I would have just the ability to present as you would have to be presented. In Christ's precious name. And everybody said, amen. The children of Israel have wandered. It is time for them to go into the promised land. They've been through a lot. They've been all the way 400 years ago or so, where Joseph led them through Jacob and all the other things down into Egypt. And there for 400 years, they grew into such a mighty nation. Some believe as many as 2 million people that left Egypt. How God delivered them. Oh, the 10 plagues that fell. And then as Pharaoh chased them and they came to the Red Sea and he opened it and divided it. And then as the 10 commandments were given, and then as they came to the promised land and they said no, try to change your mind, but God said it's too late. So he wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And in those 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes did not wear out, and God provided. As you begin to multiply it out, it was literally train loads of food every day. God was amazing how he provided water and food and sustenance and provision and put his hands underneath. And now he brings them for a second attempt to go into God's promised land, which pictures victory in the Christian life. And as they go in and they're getting ready now to go in and have victory, the Lord says this verse that we read right here. He says, take heed and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. And then you need to teach your son and your son's sons what I have done for you. It's very important that we remember what God has done for us. We need to rehearse that. We don't need to focus on it all the time and live in the past. Older people tend to just live in all those stories of the past. They need to come in the presence, and even though they may not feel like they have much future, we need to be seeing the future of our sons and our sons' sons. We need to see that we're preparing for that. But there's great blessing in remembering what God has done. Turn to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Let's read from the first verse on. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. We need to teach the Word of God. What's missing in a lot of churches today is Bible, line on line, syllable on syllable, precept upon precept teaching. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons. There it is again. All the days of thy life, and thy days may be, that thy days may be prolonged. God says, you're going to lengthen your days by remembering and teaching and keeping the word of God. Verse 3, hear ye therefore, Israel, and observe with the purpose of to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So I want you to observe with the purpose of doing it, that you might inherit this land. And the idea of milk and honey, I think all of us know, it's just the symbol of the abundant blessing. It's flowing milk with honey on it. It's just full of sustenance. And it just, it's very nurturing to your soul. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're to love the Lord. And then in that relationship starts in your own heart. We can't teach somebody else what we don't have. And so as we have received Christ, we rejoice in that, and we then pass it on to the next generation. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy door and upon thy gates. We could go back and discuss all that, but basically, you're supposed to write it on your hands, you're to put it on the frontlets between your eyes, you're to put it up on the wall. As you put it at the door of your house when you come in, you want to tack it right there. So every place you go, people see, you see, your children see, everybody sees you're a testimony for Christ. And that's the way we should be. I think that, by the way, is how we should be decorating our house. Ladies, you tend to be the decorators. Amen? I hope you decorate your house with Jesus in mind. And that you put up reminders, whether it's scripture or whatever ways, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is faithful, God is good. Everywhere you look in your house. From the time somebody walks in the door of your house, walks around, they see God is good. As they would look at you and they hear your mouth and see your hand testimony, God is good, God is faithful. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Do you remember when they moved into God's promised land, it was already built, planted, and filled? Isn't God good? I mean, he didn't just say, okay, here's raw material, build it. God blessed. I hear a lot of people, especially as they drive around America, and they see the bounty that God put in this land for us. It's amazing. And you know what's amazing? In the last 10 years, last 5 years, here we thought that, man, those Saudi Arabians had all the oil in the world. All of a sudden, America's the greatest oil exporter in the whole world. It was there the whole time. Isn't God amazing? How he's filled up the stores underneath us. That was put there centuries and centuries and centuries ago for us. Vineyards we didn't plant. Houses we didn't fill. And then he says, and it shall be when you have eaten and you're full. That's prosperity and satisfaction. Then beware. There's the warning. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And there's the problem. Churches empty out. We head to Galveston, we go to the football games, we buy places up on Livingston, we take vacations, and we just travel, 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 and fill, and have fun, and we forget the Lord. I like Dr. Kahn challenging you. The Lord's day is the Lord's day, and we need you here. We forget the Lord's work. We do everything else, but we forget what brought us to get here. It was God. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We were saved. Amen. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. There is a message all by itself. You serve the Lord and swear by his name all the days of your life. That's what we should be doing. Ye shall not go after other gods. There's another whole message. What other gods do you have in your life? Anything you put above God has become a god in your life. Of the gods of the people which are around about you. We don't expect our society that doesn't know Jesus to put God first, do we? But does God expect his people to put him first? Does he not? Know better? We know what we should do. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Hey, God's a good God. He's faithful. But I tell you what, after he's done everything for us, and then we go flirting with the world, it pulls God's cord. I hope you don't take that too lightly. It gets God riled up. That's what this says. I've been good to you. I've blessed you. I've filled up. I've put bounty. I've done all this for you, saved you out of bondage. And then you go worshiping their God. How is this? And God gets stirred up. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. We go back there. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right. And thou shalt do that which is good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, what meaneth these testimonies? In other words, all that stuff that's up on the wall and that scripture that's there and that little frontlet between your eyes, what's this all about? And the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were, and you begin to give a testimony of God's goodness over and over and over. You know, David says several times in the Psalms, but one time that we can really focus on is Psalm 51, when he has sinned. And now he's lost the joy of his salvation, and God has pointed out his sin, and he said, Lord, you were right for you. If you judge me and just dealt with me, I deserve it. But Lord, if you will bring a renewal to my joy and restore the joy of my salvation. Do you remember how that psalm ends? Then I will praise thee. And I will testify in the sons of men that you are a good and gracious God. And God, I understand that you do not desire all the gifts and the sacrifice. You want a humble and broken and contrite spirit from thy people. This is what thou desirest. You see, David understood that even when he got away from the Lord and he returned, Lord, if you will restore me, I will shout your name in praise and I will sing all the days of my life unto you. Oh, how when we're in trouble, we can say that we'll serve God. But oh, how we forget when we've eaten and we are full. So tonight, I'd like to just sort of run through a few things with us. Some things we need to remember and we need to pass on. Number one, could I say to us, we need to remember what it was like before you were saved. Where would you be without Jesus? I've got friends. It's pretty easy to see where I would be because I look where they are 50 years later, and I'm glad I'm not there. I'm not better than them. We're not saying that, are we? I just know where I'd be. I'd be in sin, I'd be in guilt, I'd be in despair. I would be afraid to die. I'd be lonely. I'd be purposeless. There would be a turmoil in my heart about what life was all about. And money doesn't satisfy. We need to remember what it was like before we were saved. Number two, I think it's good for us to remember the person that God sent to tell us the gospel. There is somebody that obeyed the gospel a long time ago, whether it was a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or your mom or your dad or just somebody coming knocking by or handing you a tract, and you accepted Christ at that final point because that camp speaker, that evangelist, did what they were supposed to do. We need to appreciate them. They were obedient to God, and they made a difference in my life. Made a big difference. When was the last time you called up the person that led you to Christ and told them thank you? You have a lot of friends in the Lord. Friends here at Westside, friends in other churches you were saved and brought here. But as Paul the Apostle said it, you have only one spiritual father. And he's not talking in this case about the Heavenly Father. He's talking about the one that crossed over and got the gospel to you. You need to remember it made a difference in your life. That's motivating for us to do it for others, to do the same thing. Number three, we need to remember the people who take it, the many people who have discipled us. Years and years and years ago, when I first came to Houston, I used to get together and have youth rallies with a lot of different churches. Every month I'd gather churches together. We had a large youth rally at Westside, or we'd go to their church, but I was in charge of them. And one of the pastors had been saved in Houston, grew up in a church in Houston. And so all the Sunday school teachers and friends and everybody all were Houston. And so we did, some of you remember the old story, "This is your life." So we did, "Pastor and so-and-so, this is your life." And he was out there sitting, and you'd have somebody in the side room, and they'd say, "Hello, I remember you when you were a little brat in Sunday school." And we, by the time that we got done, an evening of bringing all these people to that man, the whole stage, the choir loft, was filled with people that had brought them to church, that had discipled them, that had given them money to go to Bible college, and on and on and on and on. We need to remember that we didn't get here without a lot of help. Fred tonight was telling, I remember when I taught that first, second grade boys class. I remember when I asked Fred, he started shaking. He said, "I've never done that. Matter of fact, I've never had kids." And yet he took it on, and Fred diligently worked with that until God worked in different things. He went to another section of service. But can I tell you something about Fred? I meet with Fred probably every week or two. And almost every week or two, he'll say, "I keep my eyes on my boys." Fred can tell you all those boys that were in that class. And I watched him pray for them, talk about them, give words of encouragement to them, help some of them go to camp all these years. That's just one person in people's lives. We all have had a lot of people that have helped us to get where we are. You've heard me tell the story about my neighbors, the Lyons family. Took me to church every Sunday morning from the time I was 3 till I was 17. I owe them a lot. The Brodigams took me to church every Sunday night from the time I was probably about maybe 13 until I went off to Bob Jones University. They watched over me. I owe them a ton. Both families had 6 kids of their own, and the Buttses had 6 kids, and they squished us in their car. Begged us to come and called us and talked with us. And the Lyonses, every time there was an ensemble that came through, like from Bob Jones or Pensacola, or you just name your school, I don't want to leave anybody else's out. But every time an ensemble would come through and they needed to be fed, they volunteered to keep them. And the next morning when they would feed them breakfast, she would have us, all the kids, over, and she would expose us to all those. That's where I got the Christian education rub. When we have youth rallies and go somewhere, she'd gather up all the kids in the neighborhood. You can't do it anymore, but we'd have 15, 20 kids in that car, sitting 2 and 3 deep in the back seat. That's before we had seat belts and stuff like that. Can you imagine? No seat belts, no child restraint systems, and on and on. In those days, cars were buses. Of course, you already had 10 kids of your own, so what you'd expect, okay? I'm thankful. Who's been invited and worked and carried and invested and paid for you to be where you are? We need to remember. And we need to give God the glory and talk about people that studied the Bible with you, your parents, your friends, pastors, VBS workers, bus workers, people that transported you, speakers, evangelists, teachers, close couples and families, on and on and on you can go. We need to remember who and what God has done for us. We need, number four, remember the Christ who saved us. Don't leave him out. Turn with me, please, over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I touched on this thought this morning, but let's look at the scripture. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found the liars, and hast borne and hast had patience for thy name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? Yeah. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the works, the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Could I say to you, we need to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, leaving our first love. It's easy for us to get away from the Lord, the one that loved us, and we get sort of stale with the Lord. We get to a place where not the Lord's not special to us. Sort of parallel illustration. When I was first in, just coming out of Bible college, and I was looking for literature, trying to help marriages and stuff, I came across a thing by Dr. Hugh Pyle, good evangelist preacher, and it was all this literature you could give to young couples, and I remember the number one pamphlet in the list, How to Keep the Honey in Your Honeymoon. That's good advice for any man. You got to keep that marriage alive. You got to spend some time with that sweetheart. You got to keep her happy and in love with her, and she's first, and same thing back and forth. Can I adapt that to us as Christians? We got to keep the honey in our honeymoon with Christ. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I love that song. You know, Christians, I'm afraid that for many people, the more that they serve him, they get resentful and they feel trapped and they lose that love, and it's stiff and it's confining instead of out of bondage liberated. So we need to remember the Christ that saved us. He's the Son of God. He took our place voluntarily. He suffered in our behalf. He's filled with compassion. He's loving. He's giving. He's kind. He's meek and humble and easy to serve. We need to remember our Lord. Number five, we need to remember the victories that Christ has given us in our life. If we were to go and see a lot of the more adults and before they were saved, take it back, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, and see them pre-salvation, we'd see some pretty rough stuff. God saved us. Took the dirty talking out of our mouth. Took the raunchy habits and helped us to get victory over them. God's entered into our life and stabilized our homes and our marriage. God's given us peace in our life. God's given us victory after victory. After victory. You know what? We tend to have those victories, and then after the victory's had, we just sort of forget it. I see every year we have things like Veterans Day. I think it's a good thing to have Veterans Day. I think it's good to remember World War II and Korean War and the Vietnam War and all the different. I think it's good to remember the victories when Japan was defeated and Germany was defeated and all that stuff. It's good. So should Christians remember the victories in their lives. When God rescued me, and I was just not headed in a good direction in my life, and he turned me around, and now I get to serve him, I need to remember. I listed a whole page. I could make this easily a sermon, but would you just listen to this? We're not going to just things that we should remember in our Savior that we have. Number one, he's given us eternal life. He's given us eternal security. I never, ever again have to worry about dying and going to hell. Amen? That's a wonderful peace in our heart. My sin, number three, is forgiven. It's under the blood, buried in the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is from the west. He's hid it behind his back and chosen not to remember it against me ever again. Amen? How can I ever say thank you to the Lord? I must just use an illustration here. Years ago when I was in Bible college, I was the first one in my family to go off to college to do anything big like that, and I was number 5 in the list of 6 kids, and my parents, they just sort of felt it was unfair that I was getting such a big thing and all my else wasn't getting much. And so the second year I came home at Christmas, my mom and my dad decided they wanted to just do something for each of my sisters and my brother to help them and sort of equal things out. My oldest sister was having some trouble with her husband, and they had borrowed some money to get into a house, and so my mom and dad gave them the house they lived in. They owned it, just said it's yours. That's what we want to give you while you're alive, while we're alive. My second sister had borrowed money. They had built their own house, and they had built it on 16 acres that were part of our farm that overlooked a beautiful lake, and my mom and dad had held this large note, and they said, it's yours. My third sister married a young man that wasn't working out. And they said, you know what, we want to help you find a house. You've been living in a trailer all these years. And so they found a house, and they helped put down the mortgage and got them started so they could have a house to live in all the days of their life. My fourth sister, they had really had a hard time. They'd started a business and failed, and started another business and it really failed. Tried to have a little store and a gas station and all the rest. And in the midst of that, they got in trouble by not paying their taxes that you collect off the cash register. And so the government, was going to come after it and really put a hurt on my brother-in-law. And so my sister came at midnight crying to my mom and dad, large amount of money borrowed from them. The kind of loan that you make that you think I'll probably never be able to pay mom and dad again. And I can remember when they were there giving to my house and a house and a house, they said to my sister, all we can do for you right now is forgive that debt. And they went on to me and said, you got college. And they went on to my brother and gave him things in the farm. But I want to go back to that fourth sister. My sister just sat there crying. I remember she was boo-hooing, crying. And so my mom and dad, they came back over to her and they said, Jeannie, they said, I'm sorry you feel like you didn't get the house like everybody else did. And we're very sorry that we'll do more for you later on. We're just doing this right now. This is what we're going to do, but we're not leaving you out. And she said, you just totally misunderstand, mom and dad. I'm not crying because I didn't get a house. I'm crying because I never thought I could ever pay you. And it's gone. I'll never forget that all the days of my life. That's what Jesus did for us. He paid our sin debt, which we could have never paid in a million lifetimes. We need to remember. We need to remember the victory over sin. We need to remember that we'll never be alone. We need to remember that we have a peace that passes the understanding of this world. We need to remember that God has answered how many prayers in our life? Wow. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How can we forget how many times we've begged God, and he's answered, and he's answered, and he's answered, and he's answered, and we can't even remember, oh yeah, he did answer that. How important for us to testify to the goodness of our God. We need to remember that God's given us a Bible that is so absolutely beyond understanding in scope of its wisdom, of the answers it has. It's eternal. It never changes. What a wonderful thing God has given us to guide us all the days. We need to remember that God never changes. And his promises are without variation. They don't have to be updated. God promised 101, 101.2, 101.3. God's the same. You don't have to update him. He's eternal. We didn't remember we have a new destination. I was once on that train headed to hell. And now I'm a citizen with a mansion, joint heir with Jesus. How in the world? I'm royalty. I'm a child of God. And then we need to remember that God, and this ties back to Deuteronomy, God's given us a heritage to pass on. What's a heritage? That's heritage is something that goes long after you die. It extends to those that follow after you. And you know, in the book of Exodus, maybe it'd be worth, this would be our last thought tonight, so just turn to Exodus chapter 20. It's the Ten Commandments. You know this already, just put our eyes on it. Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But look at verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Where's our heritage? Our heritage is not to the third and fourth generations of our old sin. Our heritage is to the thousands that follow after us. Why are we still being blessed in America? We don't deserve it by a long shot. Would you agree with me? I think we're in verse 6. God has blessed them to the thousands because way back there they were doing right. And if we can take anything away from all this message tonight, if we would try to pass on the blessing to tomorrow and the next day and those that would follow after us and even our own children, it comes by remembering and give glory to God that they might understand this is why we've been blessed. This is why. Because God saved me. He redeemed me. He claimed me. He stood behind me. His promises are true. And it's for you too. It's for you too. And we praise his name. So on a day when we remember 39 years of God's goodness, not out of pride, but out of gratitude and out of a testimony that will hopefully live long after we're even here tonight, let's praise his name. And let's remember the goodnesses of God. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember some of the prayer requests you've had that seemed so desperate, and now they seem, oh, so long ago smoothed out? Do you remember what you could have been, but now God has saved you and your family? My son was just recently up around my family in New York taking a little vacation. And one of my sisters remarked, they said, Richie, what a change, what a difference your kids are from all the others and your grandkids. Nothing good in this man. It's what Christ did for my family. Let's remember. And when people ask us why, don't say, look what I've done. Look what he has done. Let's bow our heads, please. Has it been a while since you've remembered? I want you to think in your seat now for just a moment. I can't direct your mind, but I can encourage it. Think of the good things that God's done in your home, your own personal life. Think of some of your friends that didn't make the same choice you did. Have you been giving God the credit, the glory? Have you explained this to your children and your friends around? Have your lips been filled with praise and remembrance? We need to be. Let's don't leave our first love. Let's stir up the honey in that relationship with Christ. Let's be on fire, close, intimate, thankful, to our eternal Savior and God. Tonight, my invitation's different than I probably have ever given quite like this. Tonight, perhaps you'd like to end the evening with a sacrifice of praise. Don't have to, but maybe you have a sacrifice of praise that you would come to this altar quietly and say to God, I bring that sacrifice and I say to you tonight, I remember and I will praise your name. Debbie, if you just play real quietly, my Jesus, I love thee. If you'd like to bring a sacrifice of praise, come tonight.